Something that's been on my mind as of late is seeking. This morning, that's what I'd like us to look at. I'd like us to look at seeking as a decision, whether by design or by default, what it is that we're seeking. Look at the questions of who or what we seek, how, and why. And my prayer is that God will help us, each one, to evaluate what it is we're seeking and provide realignment if needed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Lord, I thank you for what you have been speaking to me about and challenging me about in regard to seeking. And Lord, I pray that this morning the words of my mouth would be pleasing to you, and the thoughts, the meditations of our hearts would as well. Lord, whatever I speak that is not of you, may it just fall away. But Lord, whatever is from you, I pray that you would just plant that within our hearts and draw us to you this morning. Amen. At our house, one game that we occasionally like to play is hide the thimble. You all know what that game is? Different ones do. What it is, we usually play it in the living room, but one person gets to hide a little sewing thimble somewhere in the room. Then everybody else comes in and gets to seek, gets to look, and whoever is the first person to find the thimble, then they get to hide it next. Well, lately we've added a new little twist to that that's brought a little bit of additional excitement. You have 60 seconds to find the thimble. And if you haven't found it within that time, then the person who hid it gets to open fire with a Nerf gun and try to shoot those who are seeking. So it kind of adds an urgency to find that thimble within a certain amount of time. Now, if I hid a thimble in the sanctuary this morning, how many takers would I have to display their seeking skills? We have one. Okay. Well, I thought, you know, there might need to be a little more motivation than that. So what if I would say I hid a $10 bill somewhere in the sanctuary? How many would want to, that whoever finds it gets to keep it? How many seekers would I have? I figured at least college students, that would motivate them. Okay, well, some of you still aren't motivated. What if I said I hit a $100 bill? That would create a few more, okay? What if I said, and you knew with certainty that this was true, I had $10,000 somewhere in the sanctuary. Now, stay seated. I didn't do that, okay? But if I had hid $10,000 and you knew that if you found it first, you would get to take that $10,000 home with you today, we'd probably have mayhem break out, wouldn't we? Everybody would be throwing seats around, everything, looking for that $10,000. Well, this morning, I'd like us to look at seeking, what it is we seek. And sometimes what it is we seek and how we do it, the end result is what motivates us. You know, if you knew that you were just going to get to find a thimble, that motivated Vicky, but everybody else wanted to just stay seated. $10, well, there were a few more people that joined in, and all the way up to 10,000, we had many. What is it we seek? I'd like to look at several examples from God's Word. The first one, if you want to turn with me, is in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 37. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 37. Scripture says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. The teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Well, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. James and John came to Jesus. They were seeking what I think is power and position. Aren't you glad that that's only relegated to biblical times, that people seek that? We don't see that today, do we? We see it all over. People trying to climb the corporate ladder or trying to fight their way through the political scene because they want power and position. Now, if you get in that position, you know, you can have people wait on your needs. You can boss people around. You can sip coffee and read the newspaper while everybody else does the work. I'm not implying this morning that anybody in a leadership position got there by wrong means, but often we find ourselves seeking power and position because of what it affords. Another thing that's closely connected with this, and I especially face this challenge as a parent, is nowadays we seek recognition and fame for our children. We need to start them at a very early age in sports, in musical things, in academic pursuits, because if we want them to excel, then we've got to start them young. And we want them to excel. I don't know how many of you saw this last week, last Sunday, in the Columbus Dispatch, but on the second page, thankfully, I have not observed this level of things here in America, but it says, the title of this was Chinese Parents Pushed to Extremes. Any of you see that? There were a few, okay. Well, it talks about, because of the Olympic fever rising, it has kind of excelled parents in a new way to pushing their children to new extremes. In China, where one-child families are the government-enforced norm, pushing a child to overachieve is a social imperative. It talks about Zhang Humin, who's a 10-year-old, says she spent the summer running 40 miles a day from her home on the southern island province of Hainan to Beijing, her father trailing behind her on an electric bicycle. She ran over 2,200 miles in 55 days. Another father in southern China tied his 10-year-old daughter, Huang Li's, hands and feet and watched her swim in a chilly river for 3 hours. Both men said they were helping their daughters achieve their dreams, one of running in the Olympics and the other of swimming the English Channel. Again, I haven't quite seen that extreme, but I have seen extremes where we push our children because we want them to achieve. We want, sometimes I think, fame and recognition for ourselves through our children. Another thing we seek is found in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. These are the words of Christ, and he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy." Then goes on and says, "But store up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You cannot serve God and money." Why does Jesus instruct us in this way? I think for one, our tendency, my tendency, is to store up treasures here on earth. I want financial security. We want to make sure we have a good rainy day fund. We want to make sure we're able to weather whatever economic things come our way, whether it's the loss of a job, or whether it's health issues, or whether it's just the stock market going sour. We want to be able to know that we are financially secure. Now, is it wrong to have savings? Some Christians probably would say so, but I don't believe so. I think God wants us to be good stewards of our finances. But I know for myself, many times decisions I make are based on, well, is this going to make me more financially secure or less, rather than really seeking what is it God wants in this situation. Later on in chapter 6, down in verse 25, another thing that we seek, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." And he goes on to say, you know, life is more important than what you wear, what you eat. And you know, I clothe the lilies of the field, and they're more beautiful than Solomon was in all his glory. One of the things we seek are newest fads. We like to fit in. And I forgot this morning, I was going to bring, here a week or two ago, we were rummaging through one of the drawers in our bathroom, and I found a pair of glasses. I wear contacts most of the time, but I do have glasses. We found a pair of glasses of mine that were probably about 15, 20 years old. And I put them on, and man, my kids just had a howl. They are just like huge. I mean, I was going to bring them and put them on so you could see, but sorry for you, I forgot. But fads change. You know, I remember looking back at old pictures like in the 60s and 70s of people, high school photos, where they had these tiny little glasses and thinking, man, those just looked hilarious. And now it's just switched. You know, tiny is in, and big that was in 15, 20 years ago looks hilarious. We like to fit in. Sometimes we seek the wrong things by default. So often we fall in line with the culture around us. It dictates what we need to seek to fit in, to be accepted, to not stick out like a sore thumb. And it was interesting. I read recently that marketers can fairly accurately predict what kind of appliances, I mean, the exact kind of appliances you have in your home based upon the neighborhood that you live in. Because there is such a push and such a pull of the culture to fit in that we're driven by what our neighbors have. We want to fit in. How can we tell what we're seeking? Two indicators, I think. One is our calendar. Where am I spending my time? Another indicator is our checkbook or our credit card account. Where am I spending my money? If I had a stranger look at Jared Stutzman's calendar and checkbook, I'm guessing the stranger could deduct a couple different things by what he saw. You know, one, I think he could probably deduct that college education is something that's important to Jared right now. He's spending a lot of time going to class, doing studies, and a lot of money to get there. I'm assuming he's spending money. Another thing, I didn't check with you on this, Jared, before, but are you still in a relationship with Rebecca? Yeah. Okay. Good. I wanted to make sure of that before I go to the second example. I'm guessing as well that based upon how Jared spends his time and money, the person could probably deduct that Jared is pursuing a relationship with a young lady. A couple indicators are, how are we spending our time and how are we spending our money? Well, I could go on about many things that we seek, and I want to be clear this morning that this sermon is to me more than it is to you. God has been speaking to me about what it is that I seek, but I'm hoping that through some of this, you'll be able to glean some nuggets of truth from God as well. In Matthew 6, still a little bit further down, we'll pick it up in verse 33. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Seek first His kingdom, God's kingdom, and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We're to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, food, clothing, eternal treasures, will be given to us as well. Now, Reuben talked a little bit, for those of you who were in for adult Sunday school, about God's kingdom. And a definition that I found for God's kingdom was the sphere of God's rule. So in other words, if we're seeking God's kingdom, we're seeking God's rule in our lives. And God's righteousness can be defined as the character or quality of being right or just. So Matthew 6:33 says, we should seek first God's rule and God's character in our lives. How do we seek that? Part one of how we seek is through our attitude and mindset. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first. Now, if we're coming home from a trip and my wife says to the kids before we go in the door, kids, the first thing I want you to do when we get in the door is hang up your coats. What does she mean? That's the first thing she wants done. It's not after you get a snack, or after you go turn the TV on, or after you do whatever, but the first thing I want you to do when you get in the door is hang up your coats. I wish our kids always did that, but they don't. That's what I believe Jesus is saying here. Seek first. The very first thing we need to do to prioritize is seeking God's rule and seeking His character in our lives. I'm guessing many of us did this at one time in school where the teacher handed out a test. And at the top of the test, it clearly said, read all of the questions before you respond to any of them. How many of you had that test? Marcus is raising his hand. He probably gives it out at times. What happens? You read, if you follow the directions, you read through all of the questions, and what does it say at the bottom? It usually says some version of, write your name at the top of the test and turn it over. You're done. So there are usually one or two students that do that, and the others are really struggling to find the answers, and they're wondering, why are these guys done already? You're supposed to do that first. It's the priority. Seek God's rule in our lives and His character. Nothing else is important. In Psalm 27:4, it says, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is the psalmist writing. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. We need to seek first, and we need to seek in a focused way. Luke 9:62 says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling us, don't be distracted. Be focused. I grew up on a farm, and one thing that I was always impressed with was my dad's ability to plant a straight row. I mean, it was just straight, like if you strung a string from one end of the field to the other, the rows were perfectly straight. This was in the time before GPS and all that stuff that probably makes you plant really straight rows now. How do you think he did that? Marcus. That's right. That's right. He would pick out one thing, whether it's a fence post or a house or a tree, whatever, at the end, and that would be his focus. He would be driving directly toward it. He wouldn't be distracted by things to the left or the right. If you would have seen some of the rows I planted, you could tell I wasn't focused. But he was. God wants us to be focused in our pursuit. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me in a half-hearted manner. Is that what it says? No. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The third thing we need in seeking God is passion. Have you ever seen people go after something with all their heart? Whether it's a passionate about a cause or an endeavor. One of the things I enjoy watching is athletes who are passionate. Now, the London Kiwanis Soccer League just finished, but one of the things I really enjoyed, Kevin Swartz was on Justin's team, so I got to watch them play quite a bit of time. Kevin isn't here this morning. I'll pick on him a little bit. Kevin, if you ever hear this recording, I'll be nice to you. Kevin plays soccer with passion. I just loved watching the way, I mean, he was so focused and so passionate. There were times during the game where he would be tripped or something would happen and he would fall down. And by the quickness with how quick he got up, you would think the ground was a trampoline. I mean, he would bounce right back up and go right after that ball again. I like watching people who have a passion, particularly in sports. And I think God is pleased when He sees a passion within us when we're seeking Him. When He sees that we have a passion to want to know Him. Okay, so to summarize again, I think God wants us to seek first with priority. He wants us to seek in a focused way, and He wants us to seek with passion. Well, part two of the how question is, what are the tools we can use for seeking? You know, if we're looking for a thimble or for $10,000, we know how to do that. What if we're seeking God's rule and God's character in our lives? How do we do that? Well, I think there are two ways. And the first is through prayer, spending time in God's presence. And this is, prayer is something that I feel like I am so elementary in and have so much to learn. One of the things that God continually is showing me, and I'm such a slow learner, He has to show me again and again, is prayer isn't just telling God about my needs and what I want to have happen. Usually my prayer life is more, okay, God, I'm going to have a tough day today. Please help me through this with this project. My child is sick. Can you please help them get healthy again? And praying for all the needs around me. And I believe God is pleased with our intercession. That's important. Don't get me wrong there. But I think prayer is so much more than just telling God, can you meet this need? Can you do this? Presenting God with our request list. Prayer is also listening. It's also saying, okay, God, what do you want to tell me today? One way that I found that helps me in listening to God is through having some type of a journal or paper so I can write, okay, God, what is it you want to tell me? And then just be quiet and just try to listen. Now, that can lead you astray sometimes. You need to line up what God might be saying according to His Word. If you're journaling, you say, okay, God, what do you want to speak to me about today? And the thought runs through your head, I want you to rob the bank today. Well, that's probably not God speaking. Well, that isn't God speaking to you. I can tell you that. You need to make sure it aligns with His Word and what how He wants us to live. But I think we have lost the art of listening, particularly to God. Another thing that is closely linked with that is we have lost in our culture and our society the ability to be silent. I wish I would have brought, we saw a video recently at Rosedale Mennonite Missions in the chapel. In our chapel, it was about 10-minute video that was on silence. It was totally quiet. But it just challenged, it flashed up all these different things in our lives that produce noise. I mean, when was the last time you drove somewhere in your car and you didn't have the radio on? You had it perfectly quiet. We have MP3 players, we have TVs, we have all these things that produce noise. And I think it would do us well to recapture the art of being silent. That's one thing I would challenge you to do is occasionally when you're going somewhere in your car, turn the radio off. Just be quiet, have a conversation with God. Say, God, what is it you want to tell me right now? And listen. So prayer is one tool for seeking. The other is simply God's Word. Reading it, pondering it, meditating on it, soaking, letting God's Word soak into us. What better way to seek God than pursue knowing Him through His Word that He's given to us? So a couple tools for seeking: prayer and God's Word. Why seek? Is there a $10,000 bill waiting for us if we find it? I think we've already touched on a couple things, a couple of the scriptures that we've looked at that answer the question of why we seek God. First of all, we've read that we'll find God when we seek Him with all our heart. When we seek Him with a passion, He's going to reveal Himself to us in fresh ways. In Amos chapter 5, God says, "Seek me and live." When we seek God, we'll find the life that is truly life. In Hebrews chapter 11, talks about God rewarding those who earnestly seek Him. Occasionally, I find on our van that the tread on the tires is wearing unevenly. What's the cause of that? They're supposed to run straight, but every so often they get kind of where they run on just a bit of an angle, and they need realigned. Sometimes our spiritual lives need that as well. We need realignment. The question I encourage you to ask yourself and ponder today is this: do I seek God's rule and His character in my life first as a priority, with focus, with passion, through prayer and reading His Word? Do I seek God's rule and character in my life first as a priority, with focus, with passion, through prayer and reading His Word? Let's pray. Father, today we confess that so often we seek things other than You. We seek power and position, fame and recognition. We seek financial security, the newest fads, trying to be cool or fit in. Lord, we seek created things rather than You as the Creator. We seek what feels good or what looks good, what tastes good, what gives pleasure for the moment. Lord, for all of this, we ask Your forgiveness. And today we proclaim our desire is to seek You. But even in that act of proclamation, we recognize, God, that we're too feeble, we're too weak to seek You in our own strength. We're incapable, we're not able to do it. We're like the Father, though, who responded to Jesus saying, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." The desire's there, God. We just need Your power to do it. So, Lord, we pray this morning that You would help us to seek Your rule in our lives. Help us to seek making Your character our own. Help us to prioritize our pursuit of You. May it be the first thing we do. Help us to stay focused, not distracted by the world and its pleasures, all it has to offer, but help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on You, not turning to the right or to the left. Lord, help us to seek You with passion, like an athlete straining toward the goal. Lord, help us to seek You, and in so doing, find the true treasure of treasures.